Shouldn't be scared at all up here, but tonight I'm petrified. But that's all right. I know most of everybody here. Most of everybody that was here was at my birthday party. So I should be okay. So things, you shouldn't run me out of town or anything like that. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be up here tonight. And I just ask for your guidance to bring forth your word and to make myself understood, Lord. Be with all of us, and I ask this through your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, during our Sunday school lessons this last several weeks, we have been using a word, and we've been using it a lot, and the term is righteous and righteousness. Same word, but just a little bit added on to it with the righteousness. And I'm going to start out this evening by explaining what I think righteous is and righteousness, and then we'll get down into the scripture and I'll prove it, okay? First of all, we know God is righteous, okay? We all agree with that. God is righteous. What is righteous? The opposite from unrighteous. Sin and all the bad things that can happen and do would be unrighteous. And everything we could do that would be against God or something would be unrighteous, right? So everything that God is, he is righteous. He's pure. He is holy. So we all understand what righteous is. Righteous means to be holy, to be pure. No sin at all in you. And the second thing we know is Jesus is righteous, right? Jesus is righteous. No doubt about it. We would all get up and stand up here and say, Jesus is righteous. Fine. Then we get down to his nearest best creation, man. Is man righteous? There is no way that I could be righteous enough to be in the presence of God. We know that for a fact. You cannot be righteous enough. I cannot be righteous enough. It is impossible. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. What a man was talking to Job, and he was counseling him, telling Job that he was self-righteous. Okay? Now, this is what this man says, that what man is compared to God. Dominion, then Big Dad, the Shuhite, answered and said, dominion and fear belong to him. He makes peace in his high places. Is there any number to his armies? Upon whom does his light not rise? How then can man be righteous before God? Or how can he be pure who is born of a woman? If even the moon does not shine and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less who is a maggot, the son of man, who is a worm? Compared to God, that's just about what we are, a maggot or a worm. Anything we do is not clean enough for him. So how possibly can we be righteous to be in God's presence? That's it. We cannot be in God's presence because we are not righteous. Okay, we're going to get to the term righteousness. We read in the scripture that heaven is full of righteousness. Where God is, there's righteousness. Where Jesus is, there's righteousness. The only way that we can be righteous before God is from the working part of Jesus and God, righteousness, their righteousness. Jesus' righteousness made us righteous before God. So you and I can be righteous before God. We read that when we get to heaven, the last day when we get to heaven, that we will be given a helmet of righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. So today we're going to work with righteous and righteousness just a little bit, and I'm going to try and prove what I say is true, that God is righteous, Jesus is righteous, I am righteous in the eyes of God. Because Jesus' righteousness is with me. So much for these notes. I didn't look at them once. That's good. Okay, God is righteous. Let's turn to Psalm 11, verse 4. Psalm 11, verse 4. And it's words, we're going to see that God is righteous. We'll start out in verse 4 of Psalm 11. The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Okay, the Lord tests the righteous. We are tested every day, aren't we? Think about that. Every time we have a trial, or what we call a little tribulation in our life, we get panicky. But that's not the case. Thank God that we are tested by him. If we weren't tested by him, we know that we would not be one of his. We would be called what we call a bastard, somebody without a father, right? Not one of his. But it says, the Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. The word hates here. Okay. So, I would say the things he hates here is unrighteousness. We're talking about Satan here, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. I'd say that was unrighteousness, right? God tests the righteous, but the unbelievers, the ones that are unrighteous, the ones that does iniquities, he hates, it says. That's a tough word. My grandson told me the term hate, along with the term ugly, was not good words to use because they're not very pretty. But God hates the unrighteous. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So, his countenance beholds the righteous. I already read who can be righteous before God. On our own, or being self-righteous, none of us can be righteous enough to be the sons of God. Only through the righteousness of Christ are we able to do this. So it's a work that God does. Righteousness, we could say, God uses his righteousness for us. God is righteous, but righteousness is like saying the verb, boy, that's what he does. That's what Jesus does. You ever notice that? Jesus was the one that through Jesus, all the worlds were made. The heavens were made. Our salvation is through Jesus. Everything is through Jesus. So let's put this righteousness kind of in that terms. God's righteousness made us pure before him. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have that throne of righteousness put upon our heads. And we will be pure. We will be as righteous as Christ is when we're in heaven. How do we know he is righteous? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. We're going to go through a few words on how do we know somebody's righteous or how do we know that he is righteous. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, it reads, if you know that he is righteous, we know that God is righteous. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Everyone that practices righteousness is born of him. And only because of the righteousness that was given to us. Not on our own, but anyone who practices righteousness. And we're going to expound on this a little bit. I can see not a frown back there, but Greg is really watching me tonight to make sure that I... And you can tell, you know, when somebody's deep in thought, he's thinking, what is this guy saying? What is he doing? But we're going to go a little bit further here. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 reads, Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. So it's time that we as believers sit down and practice righteousness, work our righteousness, reap in mercy, it says. Break up your fallow ground, work it up, for it is time to seek the Lord. Are we doing that? Are we working on everything we do, seeking him, seeking his advice, waiting for him? I don't think we all do that. Not like we should do it. Thank God that we're righteous because of Christ and not on our own. I haven't got that crown of righteousness yet. We're a little bit shy on that one, okay? Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. We're going to read through verse 11 here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, filled which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So we see that these fruits of righteousness that we're to be filled with, which are by Jesus Christ. So it's something that we're given continually. It isn't something, we were saved once and made righteous because Jesus died on the cross and we believed God. We believed God. That's the only thing that made us righteous, that we believed God, that Jesus paid the price. So we are to work on this righteousness and actually get more righteousness when we do so. Continually, after we are termed righteous, we're going to be kept filled with righteousness from Jesus Christ himself. Abraham, I'm going to back up here. I already said it, but righteous are the saved. Those that are righteous before God are the saved. Let's go to Psalm chapter 37, 39. In Psalm 37, 39, it's very clear here. But the salvation of the righteous, so I know that that's the saved ones, okay? The ones that are righteous before God. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord, their strength in time of trouble. In times of trial. Okay, salvation is of the righteous, but is from the Lord, and their strength, the Lord's strength in our times of trial. So in working for this righteousness, we need to rely on God, on these tests that he puts before us, and they're tests. I don't believe that Satan has got control of this world where Jesus and God the Father can't put his finger on him. You know, keep him under control. Jesus died on that cross, so he is under control. And he rose. Okay, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, it reads, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Another fact. I don't believe that Victor could practice righteousness and I would be mistaken from him. Righteousness is pure. Righteousness is holy. So we should have faith that our friends here, we'd say, are righteous also, believing what we believe. Let's go now to 1 John 2:1, same chapter in verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, oh, this is the greatest, this is for you and I. This verse, put it in your memory bank. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Paul is, or John is writing to them. And if anyone sins, get this, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If I fall, and we do, there isn't one of us here that doesn't fall. If we fall and make a mistake and ask God for our forgiveness, we have that lawyer, which the Doolittles told me we don't have to pay for his time in advance or anything like this. You know, this is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Through his righteousness, he will protect us. So that's what he sees. God sees us, not for our petty sins, but he sees our righteous and our righteousness through Jesus' righteousness. That's what makes us clean. That's what makes us pure. 1 John chapter 3 now, next chapter, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who is righteous is righteous, just as he is righteous. A believer can't fool another believer. It says so right here. I question myself on this. Let no one deceive you. He who righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Oh, wait a minute. I missed one verse, one word here. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. If we work on this, we are going to be righteous. We're not going to deceive one another. That's something we can bank on. Remember Abraham back in the Old Testament? He had something going for him. He had faith. Faith that God would keep his word. God made him a few promises. As Abraham, he promised him that he would lead his people into the Holy Land. He didn't have a people yet. He didn't even have a son. He was an old man. But he believed God. That was faith. I can say where faith and belief is pretty close to the same thing here. He believed what God said. It says, then he brought him out. Oh, excuse me. We're in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. God's going to show him the stars here, how many people he's going to have in his nation. Then he brought him outside and said in Genesis 15:5, look now toward heaven and count the stars that you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it for him for righteousness. Abraham was righteous. We talk about this, were they saved? Well, I'm sure that Abraham was saved here if he was righteous before God. I would, if I was a betting man, I would put a little bit on that one, that Jesus was working in him and he believed God and he was saved. Because we know Jesus was from the beginning. He wasn't just from the time he was born in Bethlehem as a man, but Jesus was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And Moses is talking with the people here. And he says in Deuteronomy 6:24, And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that we might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all the commandments before the Lord our God, he has commanded us. So Moses is teaching the people of Israel there that we should do all the commandments. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, all the laws that he gave them. Of course, we know that Israel failed miserably. He failed miserably, and so we found at the time of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees and all these leaders, religious leaders, they didn't even know the true meaning of God. They forgot their first love, which was God himself, and that's where they failed. Okay, we're going to see in this next couple verses that the Lord is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, please. Now, this is prophecy in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called. Now this is the name of God, name of Jesus, okay? This branch. In capital letters, you notice in the King James, the Lord our righteousness. So the Lord is our righteousness, that is the name of God. We can put along that with wonderful and all the other good terms that we use. The Lord our righteousness. The just shall live by faith. Let's go to Romans now. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and also the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just believe God. That is their faith. Our faith is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and we believe it, which made us righteous. Let's go to Hebrews now, chapter 11, verses 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered as God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which we obtain witness that he was righteous, God testifying of the gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he pleased God. He cannot please God unless he was righteous. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things, not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We keep seeing this faith, righteousness, belief, just over and over and over. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out in place which he wouldn't receive as an inheritance, and he went out and not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise and in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, with heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We still have that same faith that we believe God, that Jesus paid that price. It's the only thing, not of anything that we did, but that's the only thing that made us clean in God's eyes. Romans chapter 4, please, verse 13, same chapter. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Back here in the Old Testament, look what it says. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law. Not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. They believed God. It's also for us, the salvation. I think I can wrap this up in another 5 or 6 minutes, so we're going to go for it. It's for us also. This faith, this righteousness is for us also. Let's go to Romans again still. Chapter 4, verse 19. And we're going to read clear into chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 4, 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about, we're talking about Abraham again. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Dead means that her body was past having any organs in her that would produce a baby. They were all dead inside her. And we got this in our Sunday school lesson here just a few weeks back. And being fully convinced that he had promised, he was also able to perform. So she believed God here. Remember the first time she kind of laughed a little bit, but she did believe God. Now it was not written, verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. There again, that salvation comes through the righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, you and me. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. I think it's pretty wonderful. I mean, this is great stuff for me. God hears our prayers. Let's go back to Proverbs now, right after Psalms. Proverbs 15:29. In verse 29 of Proverbs 15, it reads, "The Lord is far from the wicked. He hears the prayer of the righteous." Lord's not listening to the unbeliever, is he? Or from the wicked, those that are following right along in Satan's footsteps. He says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Some are ignorant of God's knowledge. They think that they're going to make themselves so pure that it's going to work. We're going to see in this verse, in Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 4. Victor, I'm going to ask you to read that for me, because I failed to print out that one verse. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 4.
Not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Okay, righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all those that believe. And anybody that can go out and work to be righteous before God in their good works, I'll use my Mormon family. They are working to be not as God, but they're being to work as to be God. They're working up towards this. They are so good in their own eyes that they think that through their practices they're going to be a God. And we can see it doesn't work. They're outsmarting themselves. They're too bright for their own good. They have missed the point of they do not have that wonderful thing of Jesus Christ's righteousness coming down to us. Let's go to Proverbs. Well, I already got that one. I'm going to back up here. Let's close it up. It's time to close. I've got a few verses here that I'm going to say is my closing tonight. Let's go to Romans 10, 10 through 13. And this is going to back up, I believe, what we said. Romans 10, 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. That's what we've been teaching in Sunday school over and over and over. So it's a work of righteousness. Okay, let's go to Romans 14, 17, please. It's going to explain what the kingdom of God is. It says in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What was promised to us when Jesus left? The Holy Spirit. When we accept him as Savior, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we can only grieve him is when we start acting like the world. But remember, we have that advocate. If we sin, to ask forgiveness. We are righteous already. One time we're righteous. We were made righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. But we're working and working and working for righteousness in our lives, to the point where we're going to have that crown of righteousness put upon our heads. Not a crown of jewels. I'm saying a crown of righteousness. That's where Jesus and the Father live. They live in a place full of righteousness. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to be full of righteousness. We're going to be like Christ. Not going to be God, but we're going to be brothers and sisters of Christ. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Last verse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Now remember that through the Bible, the fear of the Lord, faith, righteousness, love, all go hand in hand, because we'll see words in Proverbs that will interchange these words continually. Faith, love, knowledge. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but to him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. As it is written, he who glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just bringing this message to us, Lord, and thank you for the being able to be righteous before God, Lord. What a privilege it is to be righteous, and that we should work towards righteousness, which will be overly given to us by Jesus Christ himself if we just ask and work towards it, Lord. Thank you for these promises, and we do this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.